folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and you're listening already now to Financial Survival. Melody will be joining us in a second. She was on a minute ago, but something happened. Todd lost connection with her, so he's going to get her back on ASAP. She'll be joining us for the broadcast today. Welcome. It is 16. I can't believe that. September. I mean, the month's over half gone already. 2022. We're having some gorgeous weather here in the hills of West Virginia. I guess you caught September, about my favorite month of the year. Cool nights, warm days. Not overly warm, not humid, nice days to be outside and do things. So anyway, we're going to get Melody back on a minute to come up with markets. There she is. I figured you must turn the computer off again and left. I didn't know what happened.
No, it's too early for that. I saved that for the last segment of the program.
Okay. All right, Melody, come right on in. You take over and I'll shut up when you get the markets out.
Okay. Well, you know what? Interesting day in the markets. The Dow was all over the page. Did come back a little bit. A little bit of weakness in the dollar, but not much. So you have gold up $8.90 at $1,675. We were a little bit stronger earlier in the day, but we were also a lot lower. So we had a decent day in gold. Silver was up 38 cents at $19.65. The same thing with gold, had a pretty big dip, but it came back. Platinum was up 5 at 920. Palladium was down 12 bucks at 2209. USDX today was down 0.05 at 109.66. Crude oil was up 17 cents at $85.27. Paper markets today, you know, the Dow was off worse than what it is now, but it's still down 140 points at 30,821. The S&P was down 28 points at 3,873, and the NASDAQ was down just shy of 1%, 11,448. The Asian markets and the European markets were all negative overnight. The 10-year yield, 3.45 for the 10-year yield. And let's take a peek. Natural gas was lower today by 6%, 7.81. But here I'm showing oil and Brent were both stronger, just a little, though. So it wasn't too bad. And but there's a lot of interesting, everybody's waiting for the Fed next week. Everybody knows he's going to raise it probably 75 basis points or more. I can't imagine. If he does less, I don't think it's going to be a positive. If he does less, it's mainly because the market fell apart between now and then, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, he'll do a 75 basis point increase next week. So, you know, it's kind of funny. We all know he's going to do it, and we're all just, you know, what does it really mean? It just means that they're still in there playing the game of trying to control markets, trying to control our economies, trying to control inflation. And it's just not as easy as it once was. And the only thing they have in their corner is the, you know, the algorithms. And, you know, that has helped take a lot of panic out of the markets. We'll see how it continues, and I don't think there was really the fear gauge creeped a little bit higher, you know, as we saw the stock sell off, but U.S. consumer inflation expectations, that really wasn't. They expected inflation to fall in September, sentiment rises. Prices are soaring everywhere. From beans in Brazil to pork in China. And, of course, so it's just not us that inflation is impacting. It's everywhere. And and that's not good. That is not good. So we're not alone out there. And we probably have it better than most of those countries that are facing those very high inflation numbers.
Well, you know, go right ahead. I want to tell you about an inflation. An interest hike. When you get through, go ahead. I'll tell you about an interest hike.
No, go ahead. You can pick it up right now. Go ahead.
Okay. I think this makes ours pale. Argentina to hike interest rates to 75% as inflation nears 100%. You know, I'm laughing, but it's coming here, folks. It's funny when it's in Argentina, but it's going to be funny when it hits us, and it's going to be here. The central bank boosts its benchmark LELIG rate by 5.5 percentage points to 75%. The move comes a day after data showed consumer prices jumped nearly 79% a year ago in August, the fastest pace in 30 years. It was the bank's ninth rate hike this year. The new rate hike catches up with the rise in current and expected inflation, but may not be sufficient. My goodness, 75% not sufficient to tame inflation or boost the reserves. The substantial uncertainty on inflation and the persistent risk that the peso may soon see a sharper depreciation undermine the ability of the new rate to convince households to save or investors to have a position in pesos. 75%, and it still may not be enough to tame inflation. I don't think it's working, Melody. I don't think they're taming inflation at all. I don't think interest rates, after a while, are going to be able to tame anything. It's just going to put more burden on everybody else. What do you think?
Well, I agree. And, you know, it is a lot worse for these other countries, and they can't control it the same way that we do. I mean, and what's our benefit is we are still the reserve currency. And so when there is any type of, you know, people do still go to the U.S. dollar, but you have to understand what the stronger dollar is doing to these other nations. It's killing them. And they are going to come in there, and they're going to start correcting their own and start manipulating their own currencies. So it will be another battle of currencies out there, but we still have the reserve currency, even though that is weakening to some degree. So, you know, to some degree, that benefits for that respect. Now, for everything else and for our purchasing power that we've seen decline over the umpteen years that we've had a fiat currency, no, that hasn't helped us. It allows government to, and again, you heard this story and you're going to hear it again in the future. You know, our fiat dollar has allowed our U.S. government to run rampant in their uncontrollable spending and trying to create illusions that we've come out of all the past recessions. And we haven't. We've only come out of it by more debt, by government creating more debt, the Federal Reserve creating more debt, and it takes us further down the rat hole. And that's pretty simple. And that's not going to change. They can't fix it. They'll never get us out of that rat hole, and eventually that day of reckoning will come. The amount of corruption that we have and the path that this nation is on is just mind-boggling. But I did have to laugh, Butch. I was watching the news this morning. I watched a little bit last night, and the story was about the 50-some illegal aliens that were taken to Martha Vineyards. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because all of your mainstream liberal programs in the past, what did they talk about immigration? They didn't talk about immigration since Trump was in there. They sort of ignored the 50-plus of them that died in a truck. They don't talk about those that are being that die every day. They don't, you know, they just sort of ignore it and so forth. And so turned on the liberal programs this morning, and their top story was immigrants in Martha Vineyards.
Yep.
And
yep.
And I had to laugh. That's what it took for them to become. And it wasn't upset about the open borders. It was upset that they flew them in there. And Martha Vineyards have no programs to support. And even though they had created housing for them and everything, you know, what a terrible thing to do to fly them there. Hey, they can fly me there. I'll find some place to stay. And, you know, but that's what it took for them to discuss. And they didn't discuss about the open borders. They just discussed how unsympathetic and you know, one person even said I think it was a Newsom out of California that what was I going to say? The Newsom out of California thinks they should get them for kidnapping.
Well, they are coming. They think that the governor of Florida did use them as a what would they use as? Well, they compared them to the Nazi slaughter of 6 million Jews. I mean, this is so unbelievable. But they call it a humanitarian crisis. Yeah, really. In the border, they get 15,000-16,000 a day in some places coming across from one place. And 50 in Martha's Vineyard is a humanitarian crisis. They even call out the National Guard. They're going to send them to a military base somewhere near that area to take care of them.
Amazing.
But yet we have 10, 12, 15,000 coming across in certain places, yep, across the border in the southern states. And you get 50 in Massachusetts at Martha's Vineyards, and it's a humanitarian crisis. And these people voted for Biden, by about 80-some percent of them voted for Biden. And I'm not saying, hey, do what you want with that, but Biden has opened the borders. You're getting what you paid for, darling. That's the way it is.
But you would think those wealthy people on the island, they need maids and housekeepers and lawn keepers, and they need, so it's perfect jobs for those, you know, because those are the jobs they do when they come here, painters and, you know, little handyman jobs, and they would welcome those 50. They would be able to employ them pretty easily.
Well, that's where President Obama lives, you know. He owns a house there, about $12 million home there. So,
yeah. But, you know, it's also about, almost 90% white, too.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's just a very liberal, and again, I hate to use the word liberal, but a very liberal section of the country. And I say, hey, they like Biden. They like what he's doing. Helps take care of the situation. I think Florida and Texas are doing the right thing. Arizona should join them. Ship up tens of thousands. Maybe they start getting attention then. I mean, what are you going to do? Declare war in the state of Florida or Texas? I don't think so. I mean, this is getting to a point where people are getting angry, and they say, it's about time. It's about time. People living on the southern border are living in constant fear, Melody. They really and truly are scared. I mean, they're afraid to even stay in their homes tonight. This is happening in the southern states, and we know they're trucking them in all the places. Even the federal government's taking them to certain places and dumping them off. We know that, too.
Yeah.
But now these states are saying, hey, let's ship a few of the people that support this. Here you go. Here's your prison for the year. I think it's.
Well, that's what I said the other day when they were just shipping them to New York. It's like, nah, they need to ship them to all these other cities.
They do.
Let's just not keep them to one. And here they are shipping them all over. So they must be listening to me.
There you go. And I really feel sorry for the illegals. They're illegals. Now, they're criminals. I feel sorry for them. They are illegals.
I do. You know what? I do too.
I mean, they're illegals. But and they need to pay for the crime.
Yeah, but they're just. But they're just doing what the government is allowing them to do.
That's it. They know it's free housing and free care.
So basically, they're not illegal.
They're breaking the law, but they're allowed in, put it that way. But they're breaking the law. The immigration laws are being broken.
They're not breaking the law because the government is accepting them.
Well, I know, but I'm saying the law is still in place. They just ignore it.
The government ignores it.
Exactly. That's the point.
So does that make them legal or illegal?
No, it doesn't make them legal. It just makes them just.
But
makes
it doesn't
it
make them illegal either.
Oh, poor people in limbo. They don't know where they are. But anyway, it's so sad. It is so sad. But, you know, different topic. But I thought.
Butch, I need to make a quick call, so I'm going to let you take us to the break.
All right, go right ahead. Okay. This is amusing in a way, but it's serious in another way, too, folks. I mean, we're seeing things heat up to a point here now that it's just almost unbelievable that people are getting so angry. And I can understand anger. Believe me, I do understand the anger. People are getting fed up with all this nonsense and all this that's hurting them and their families. They have to. It's natural to want to defend yourself and your families. But to see what's happening now, Trump warns of problems like we've never seen if he's indicted. Former President Donald Trump said Thursday the nation will face problems like the likes of which perhaps we've never seen if he's indicted over the handling of classified documents after leaving office. An apparent suggestion that such a move by the Justice Department could spark violence from Trump supporters. The former president said an indictment wouldn't stop him from running for the White House again, and repeatedly said Americans will not stand for this prosecution. If a thing like that happened, I would have no prohibition against running, Trump said in an interview with the conservative talk show host Hugh Hewitt. I think if it happened, I think you'd have problems in this country like the likes of which perhaps we've never seen before. I don't think the people on stage would stand for it. Hewitt asked Trump what he meant by problems. I think they'd have big problems. Big problems. I don't think that they stand for it. They will not sit still and stand for the ultimate of hoaxes, Trump said. Well, that very well could be true. I mean, that is definitely could be true. I know it's fanned the fire for some more situations in this country, but he's not by himself doing that, folks. I'm trying to find the article now about a gentleman running for the House in Florida told people to shoot feds on sight. I'm not making this up. I wish I were making it up. I don't want to see our country deteriorate into this either. But it is happening. Whether we like it or not, this has happened to America. The house, you know, as Christ told us in the book of Matthew, that a house divided cannot stand. A kingdom divided cannot stand. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing a record amount of people becoming angry, but you're saying things that they don't even think through. As Representative Ryan said, we need to kill this movement of the conservatives. Poor choice of words, in my opinion, just to tell you the truth, a poor choice of words. But this is being said across the country now. I'll have to find the article in a little bit when I get Melly back on and have time to look for it. But that's just where we are today in America. And I don't see it getting any better because people are getting angry. And here's one of the reasons why. Americans suffer under Biden's inflation. We love to have a kid, but we have to put it off. Americans are suffering under President Biden's soaring inflation. They're forcing them to make difficult choices their parents did not have to shoulder. Together we, this is a husband and wife, together we are making $75,000. That's more than what my parents made ever in my entire life, the Lainey Claycomb told the New York Post about her husband. Noting her parents' home in near Atlanta cost $90,000 in 1998. Now in this area, you can't even find a broken down trailer for that price. This isn't in Los Angeles. We looked at apartments near my job so we wouldn't have to drive 30, 40 miles a day, but we couldn't afford it. We got the cheapest apartment we could find, Claycomb added. We'd love to have a kid, buy a house and a yard, but we had to put it off. Housing costs are just one aspect of buying inflation. Over the 12 months, grocery price increased at 13.5%. Folks, we're going beyond that. I mean, that one lady said, people don't have told me I lost weight, but I can't afford groceries, comedian Gary DeLoa told the Post. I used to go shopping and plan my bills for the week, but now if a Fage yogurt is $10, a bag of Doritos $7. It's cheaper to take out, he said. I've never eaten this much Chinese takeout because the lunch special will last me 3 days. Brianna Howard, who is a mother and wife, told the Post her family is struggling to purchase $10 grapes from the store. $10 grapes. We're your typical middle-income-age family, income-average family, she said. We're more mindful at the grocery store. Like, it's like, what do we do? What do we have a coupon for? I'm honestly picked up a pack of $10 grapes. That's something I can't continue to do. So still, other Americans are struggling to afford the energy bills, and winter is not even here yet. I'm seeing electricity bill go from bill at more than $300 a month. It used to be $200. I don't feel like I'm using any more AC than I did last year. Everything's going up. A haircut cost $20 is now $45 for a haircut. Let's see, someone said I'll cut my own hair. Well, what about $5 here for us? Our haircuts in this area now $20. We're $15. But hey, that's a 25% increase, right? Back in the break, folks. Slow more talk about don't go away. $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living, working for a living, working for a living, never, never working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Lost now. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, with the things that we were talking about, yes, I had to leave for a few minutes, but, I mean, here are some other headlines. I'm just going to do the headlines. Home sale prices are dropping below asking price. I don't know if you talked about the FedEx CEO.
I'm getting there a little bit, yes.
Dave and I, we talk about the yield curve. It's to invert by most in 40 years, and yet the government comes out and says, we're not in any recession, or is one coming? No, we're going to have a whooper of a recession, depression, and these are just the things that try to find them discussed.
Well, the Wall Street Journal just come out with this figure. I mentioned it during the break. It now costs an average of $310,605 to feed, house, and otherwise care for a child age 17. I mean, $310,000, Melody. I can understand why one couple said they can't afford to have a child. Unbelievable. And you talk about what happened with what FedEx said. Chevron CEO warns Americans to brace for higher natural gas prices this winter. It's going to hit. It is hitting. It's already hitting Europe. It's going to hit here big time. The chairman and CEO of energy company Chevron has warned Americans to brace for price increases in natural gas this winter. CEO Mike Wirth made the comments in an interview with CNN on September 13th, in which he warns consumers that there's certainly a risk that costs will go up. Prices already are very high relative to history and relative to the rest of the world. We're already seeing this impact being felt in the European economy, and I do think it's likely that Europe goes on into recession. Well, this is only the beginning, folks. Believe me, it is. Because this stunned Wall Street reacts to FedEx's biggest plunge ever. I said the biggest plunge ever. After shocking Wall Street by yanking its guidance, flagging weakness in Asia, challenging Europe, announcing office closures and mass layoffs. Now, folks, this is FedEx. A fate that awaits most of a corporate America, and warning that conditions could deteriorate further in the current quarter, FedEx shares have plunged 21% in pre-market trading. It's the biggest drop on record. And as usual on Wall Street, the move has triggered an avalanche of downgrades from countless banks such as Bank of America, Stifel, J.P. Morgan, and Key Bank. So, it's happening. It's happening. I mean, we're seeing 21% drop in pre-market trading, the largest ever in history. It's coming together, or I should say, it's coming apart. Whichever you put it, it's coming. It's coming. Just like Melody and I have been saying for many years, Melody before I was even, this fiat currency system, this spin, debt is coming to an end. Melody, the only way I can make a comparison that I can comprehend myself in on hillbilly, it's like you decide you're going to go out and you're going to buy everything you want. You're going to put it on credit. You're going to buy the bigger house, a nice car, put in a pool, put in a tennis court. You're going to do all of these things. You're just going to get some cards and put it on credit. And everything looks really great. Everything looks fine. I mean, you're living in a house, you're living it up, and you're just having all the fun you want, charging the thing on credit cards. And then next month comes to come due. Then what do you do? America has been charging a credit card for how many years now?
Long time.
So what do you do when it finally comes due and you can't pay it?
Well, I mean, more or less, it's also more like, you know, you're living it up and everything's fine as long as there's no hiccups. But losing a job,
sure,
inflation. So, yes, you know, your once income that was, you know, paying for all those goodies and everything, you were able to pay your monthly debts and so forth. Now, all of a sudden, you have inflation, but your rate, your wages aren't going up to match it. Other things are rising, too. And now, all of a sudden, you can cut back a little bit. You know, maybe you have an extra credit card that you can do this and that. And you can even borrow from your parents or, you know, from relatives and so forth. And maybe you can even get a extra loan on your house and so forth, and it's still, you're still floating through, you're still doing what you need to do when you have to do it, but eventually all of that stuff runs out.
Yes, it does.
Nobody wants to give you any more money because you haven't paid them back yet. You stopped making your payments. You know, maybe your parents have forgiven your debt, like government has forgiven the student loans. But you, and that might help you some degree for, you know, give you another reprieve for, you know, a month or so. But, and government's no different.
Well, they've been using their credit card for a long, long time because we've been paying for it.
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't they use their credit card? But it's going to come to an end. American people are getting frustrated, and we're not nearly frustrated as most of the world is now. I mean, we are having people in the streets all over this world, all the world now, fighting over this situation. They're getting angry. America's just kind of getting into the game, so to speak.
You know, I'm not a fan of Fox News. I'm not a fan because they get paid. They say they're allowed. They say only what they're allowed to say, and so forth. So I'm not a fan, but I do watch it, and they do have some good information. I listen to usually their openings of their programs, and then usually after that, it's, you know, they bring on the same politicians, and the same politicians just lie like they normally do and so forth. But usually their openings and so forth are pretty good. And then there's only one or two of them that I watch. I do watch, you know, the guy that says, "This is my world," whatever his name is. And it really is shocking. They had these people that were in Arizona. And I lived in Arizona for, you know, 28 years. Mm-hmm. Phoenix, showing the homeless. And it's just like, you know, it's just unbelievable. All of these tent cities that are popping up, all the homeless, all the drug addicts. There was one mayor on who said, you know, we tried to help these drug addicts, but they don't want to get off the street. They want to be homeless, and they want their drugs. They don't want help. And you can't help them unless they want help. What are you going to do with them?
That's true.
So it's such a decaying society that we see if you care to look. And, you know, I shared this story back in 2003 or 4, traveling out west, going through New Mexico. I love New Mexico. I'd even thought about moving to Albuquerque in the 80s. And my cousin's daughter, she just got back from Guatemala. We're driving through New Mexico. It was Albuquerque. And she says, "This reminds me of Guatemala." She was in her 20s, and she was that observant.
Wow.
Sad.
It is sad. It is sad. There's a video you can find online of a gentleman going for his evening walk on a San Francisco street. You have to watch it to believe it. Trash everywhere, people in the streets, homeless in the streets, literally fighting in front of the guy. He stopped and videoed two guys fighting down the street, one guy hitting a guy, a lady hitting a guy with a broom. This is in San Francisco, folks. This is America today. We are a third world nation, especially in larger cities. Whether you like it or not, that's what we are. We can laugh about it, joke about it, and try to shrug it off, but we are, and we're getting further into it everywhere across this land. Some of us haven't seen it yet, but it's coming. But, you know, I think Ireland may have the answer, Melody, because the pilot program in Ireland has given 2,000 actors, musicians, painters, and writers universal basic income for 3 years. They're going to get $325 a week for the next 3 years just for being there, just for breathing. How's that for a deal?
Hey.
I mean, you know, we're talking about, what, $1,300, $1,300 a month just for being alive? You can't beat that.
Can't
but this
beat
is
that.
Going in Ireland. And America's already doing a tune someplace. You know that already.
I do.
So
I think I moved to Ireland.
There you go. Well, that's where my ancestors come from. My grandma's a Tasker, and the Pauls come from Ireland, too, and Wales. But anyway, but this is not just happening in America. This is being brought in worldwide. And I don't know what to say to tell people, to warn people. They don't seem like they really care. Everyone gets that check, thinks, well, golly, this is great. Had a guy call me yesterday. Wanted to know if there's going to be another rebate or another, wait, what do we call another rebate, but another bailout for the people. You know, remember Trump gave us all whatever, what was it, $1,200, whatever?
Yep.
He wondered what the next one's going to be. I was kind of stunned. I thought, really? I hope never. But, you know, that's what he's waiting on. He's putting his hopes that he'll get another check from the government. That's sad.
It is sad. And, you know, the thing of it is, I mean, if people would have thought about it, hey, you know, it's okay to help people and so forth. But the only reason those checks came to the people was so to calm everybody down about shutting down the economies.
That's true.
Taking people's wages away and everything else. We were bought off. That's what they were doing. They were buying us off to be quiet. Because that's the only thing that really keeps people quiet, paying them off.
It is, but it brought on a lot of more inflation, too, didn't it?
It did. That went directly into, and you know, and that's the only thing they can do now. You know, they used to fight off, you know, their so-called inflation by doing their monetary policies, by, you know, shipping our jobs overseas and everything else. But it got to the point where, no, we've got to get, you know, the only way to keep these economies going is to give the money directly to the people. And that's what happened. That's what happened.
Well, this makes me stop and think a little bit, too, because a new report reveals exactly how much we are paying for illegal immigrants. Now, folks, we means you and I. According to a recent cost estimate by the Federation for American Immigration Reform, U.S. taxpayers are now spending an additional $20 billion a year to fulfill the demands of illegal aliens who enter the nation under the Biden administration. The immigration organization said that it is conservatively calculates that each illegal alien will end up costing Americans taxpayers $9,232 for a total of $20.4 billion to feed the population. It comes on top of the $140 billion yearly expense and is now incurred to provide services and benefits for long-term legal immigrants. The number is based on an estimated 2.3 million illegal aliens who successfully crossed into this interior of this nation under President Joe Biden, including about 1 million gotaways who managed to elude capture and have since vanished in the American neighborhoods. Biden has presided over the biggest number of illegal immigrant arrests at the U.S.-Mexico border in a calendar year in history after reversing major Trump-era regulations intended to discourage entrance across the southern border. So we're spending, right now, $160.4 billion out of our pockets to feed these people. And yet we have families who are working every day, can't even afford to buy groceries. That makes me angry beyond words. I mean, it makes me very angry because I just read the article. You missed it because you were on the phone. But a family that's making a combined income of $75,000 a year, and the lady said, that's more than my parents have made in their whole life, and we can't live on that now. We can't even afford an apartment to live in. We can't afford to have a baby because we just can't afford it. This is America today, where they're spending $160.4 billion to feed people that shouldn't be here. And these people are having a hard time. And one of them said, well, she said about a $10 bunch of grapes. I can't do that very often. A $10, Melody, grapes, $10.
Yeah, and then what country did they come from?
That's very true. I mean, this is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I'm seeing these things happening, and people are, of course, you're getting angry. When we spend, and we'll get to this in a minute, we just send another big package to Ukraine also.
Yep.
We did.
Yep.
Gee.
A couple billion last week.
Yep.
I know it was in millions this week, but it was for something. I don't know what it was. So, yeah, they get something on a week. They get their universal basic income on a weekly basis. And the corruption in Ukraine, there's no accountability or where that money's going. We're just giving it to them.
There is not. Somebody's really scraping the juice, I mean, that gold off the top of the line.
Yeah, Zelensky.
Really are. Yes, they
and
are.
His
they
cronies.
Truly are. They
probably
truly are.
To keep his kid out of trouble.
I mean, this is unbelievable stuff. But Biden officials are going to discuss litigation options over migrant buses. Cabinet heads and White House officials will meet Friday morning, today, to discuss a range of pressing immigration issues, including litigation options, to respond to GOP governors transporting unauthorized immigrants. Not, I didn't say that. They said that. Transporting unauthorized immigrants, that means illegal, from the border to the other parts of the country, according to planning documents reviewed by Axios. Why it matters. News that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis chartered two planes to fly roughly 50 migrants, mostly Venezuelan, to Martha's Vineyard has triggered a wave of backlash from Democrats and immigration advocates, with many condemning the move as political and inhumane. Driving the news, one asylum seeker, Katisha from Caracas, Venezuela, told Axios Boston to get co-author Stephen Sellers, who spent today on the ground in Martha's Vineyard, and she was told she was going to New York City. Others said they believed they were going to Boston. GOP Governors Greg Abbott of Texas and Doug Ducey of Arizona have 4 months have been busing 1,000 migrants and asylum seekers from their border states to Washington, D.C., New York City, and Chicago, which are all run by Democratic mayors. Abbott also claimed responsibility today for sending two busloads of migrants and asylum seekers to Vice President Kamala Harris's home in D.C., and they did. And the cops run their migrants off. Now, that's tolerance, folks. I mean, they want them. We send them. They don't want them. I mean, that's tolerance. And you find out, too, that the majority of the people approve of what these governors are doing. Rasmussen reports asked 1,000 likely voters the following. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, has been busing illegal immigrants to New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. Do you approve or disapprove of this policy? 36% strongly approved. 16% somewhat approved. On 25% strongly disapproved. While 14% somewhat disapproved. Rasmussen also asked if the respondents agreed or disagreed with Greg Abbott's spokeswoman, who said Democrat New York Mayor Eric Adams should stop complaining and call on President Biden to take immediate action to secure the border. A whopping 62% agreed. 30% disagreed. So people are actually getting fed up with this. I mean, if the poll was anywhere near accurate, I'm sure it is. It's been strongly opposed by the majority. So there you go. You figure it out. I mean, this is going to go. It's going to blow up in somebody's face one of these days before too long. I don't know how the federal government is ever going to stop a state from doing what it's got to do to protect its borders, but we'll see. And come on, something, LD?
No, I don't know how this all plays out with that. It's just what's going to break and what's going to really address it is when our system collapses.
Well, you do know that Texas is going to vote in a referendum this year to secede. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but,
we'll see.
I don't think that'll happen in today's world, but that's just my personal opinion. It's great if it would, if they could, if they wanted, you know, hey. But I don't think that would ever happen. But even Texas gets too much money from the federal government to break the ties.
So. they have to break that sugar tape up. I hear you. Okay,
you can't break that. So, hey, I hear the music, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And so we've been kind of all over the page. It must be Friday Frustration Day to where we just get things. Maybe that's what, before you go into the good news, we'll have Friday Frustration Day and, you know, get things off our chest. And but it just is, you know.
I used to call it Steam Release Friday. I used to call it Steam Release Friday in my program. Steam Release Friday is what I call it.
Yeah.
You know, because it does help talk about these things, get them out in the open. It does let some steam off. Seriously, it does. You know, but I was talking about the Ukraine. Now, our new $600 million arms package for Ukraine marks 21st time U.S. draws from its own stockpiles. Now, I don't know what's happening over there. I'm not sure where the fighting's going on, but I hear Russia is retreating. I don't know that. That's been on the news. It's everywhere. Maybe the Ukraine's actually win this thing. But the Biden administration just announced yet another new weapons package for Ukraine with $600 million, which now brings to total U.S. military aid pledged since the start of the war $15.1 billion. So crucially, in this case, arms are being sent under the presidential drawdown authority. I didn't know they could do that, which allows the White House to take arms directly from U.S. stockpiles, military stockpiles, for use by foreign allied forces. The administration confirmed it was the 21st time it drew from Pentagon supplies. The Guardian detailed Joe Biden authorized the latest assistance using his presidential drawdown authority, which allows the president to authorize and transfer of excess weapons from U.S. stocks. The White House said it was the 21st time that the U.S. Defense Department has pulled weapons and other equipment off the shelves to deliver to Ukraine. We'll see. I don't know. But it definitely is, we definitely put a lot into them. And I don't know how much more Russia is going to tolerate all this from other countries, but we'll see. But Ukraine now, Melody, is, no, ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, the U.S. also just gave a, where did I see that? $1 billion in military aid to Egypt. So there's another $1 billion. Okay. throwing it right out the window.
Pretty soon it's going to start adding up real money, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? It's, you know, it really is amazing. And I guess Biden signed, there was some sort of a bill that was signed and, China issued a strong warning over a bill that was advanced by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. It would give Taiwan $6.5 billion in military aid and then take other steps to fundamentally change U.S. policy towards Taipei. And the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman, which is rare, said that China is firmly opposed to the bill and lodged a complaint to the U.S. over the legislation. She said the bill seriously breaches the U.S. commitment to the One China policy. And so, again, here's just another sign that we're doing everything possible in this world. It does not. Now, hey, I don't like the ties to China, but this isn't about the U.S. This is about Taiwan.
Yes.
And so, you know what? Get your nose out of Taiwan. And what are we going to do? Are we actually going to go to war for Taiwan?
You never know.
We have done unprecedented military aid for Taiwan. That's what the bill would give Taiwan the benefits of being a major non-NATO ally without a formal designation, expedite arms sales to Taipei, require sanctions in the event of Chinese aggression. The $6.5 billion in military aid will be dispersed over 5 years through foreign military financing. So there's another $6.5 billion going to Taiwan. So, I mean, these people are nuts. They're insane.
And we've tolerated it for years.
Yeah, we have.
This is something I wonder what's going to come out of this. Germany seizes control of Russian-owned oil refineries. I wonder what that could lead to. German officials said Friday that Berlin has taken control of three Russian-owned refineries located in Germany in a scramble to shore up energy security before the planned embargo of oil imports from Russia kicks in and further squeezes energy supplies. Germany's economy ministry said in a statement on September 16th that Rosneft Deutschland, GM, I can't say his names, RN refinery and marketing will be put under the administration of Germany's Federal Network Agency. With the move, German authorities will also assume control of Rosneft's shares in three refineries. Rosneft Deutschland is one of the biggest oil processing companies in Germany, holding a total of 12% of Germany's oil refining capacity. So they seize Russian assets in Germany. That's what it boils down to. So what do you think might come out of that, Melody?
Well, I don't know about that one. I don't know how much those... You know how much they produce, and you know, really the impact. You know, Russia can still cut off.
So they're going to cut off the natural gas. Already have. Yeah, that's already started.
So already you started. Know, yeah. So I don't know what type of impact that really has to Russia, anyway.
I just wonder. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But that was kind of a bold move, just take over their refineries. But, you know, we're talking about the Ukraine, different things in the battle there. That's going on. But it's spreading across the world. Clashes break out on Kazakhstan and Tajikistan border as both leaders attend SCO summit. Folks, wars. This is Matthew 24. Wars and rumors of wars. Everywhere. Border clashes have erupted Friday between the two Central Asian nations and longtime rivals, Kazakhstan and Tajikistan, following 3 days of sporadic exchanges of fire between military border posts. Despite a short-lived attempt at ceasefire, the armed confrontation over disputed border areas continues among the neighboring countries, which are both former Soviet republics and enjoy close ties with Moscow. The border guard said courage forces were returning fire on Friday morning as clashes took place along the length of the border, adding that Tajik forces were using tanks, armored personnel carriers, and mortars. More than one-third of the 600-mile frontier remains disputed. Last year, the two countries were on the brink of all-out war, with brief border skirmishes tending a flare-up of semi-frequently in a set of circumstances which somewhat parallels the Armenian-Zoroastrian conflict, which is also in the region and in the edge, and that's next. Wednesday morning in the country of Armenia invoked Article 4 of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which calls for all members countries to come to military defense of Armenia and as neighboring Azerbaijan commences military attacks against Armenia. The world now has a second war front after the ongoing Ukraine front. Well, I just covered one more. It makes three. And one of the member states suffers aggression, armed attack, mentions to safety, stability, and territorial integrity or sovereignty, will be considered by the member states as aggression against all the member states of the treaty. So they're calling for the other members of that of the treaty to join the battle. So what's happening is that war is spreading all over the world. Mel, there's unrest between nations and peoples and governments everywhere. We're seeing this happen. In my lifetime, I don't remember seeing this ever being this way all over the world. Do you?
No, well, everything and everywhere, there's just unrest. There's just an agitation, and it's there's so many things wrong everywhere. And, I mean, there's some rights, but it's mostly all wrongs led by all these governments and their the corruptness and their thievery and everything else.
This is stupendous. Again, being a pastor for over 40 years, and I think some of a Bible scholar, I think I see him prophecy being fulfilled very quickly in the last few years. I really do. But with all this going on, this next is a good news article. I want to share this. We got a few minutes left, and I don't want to rush through because it's kind of important. This coming November, Melody, this November the 20th,
mm-hmm.
Mars and I have been married 51 years. 51 years. I never thought I'd be that old. But this couple here said, what's the secret to a good marriage? A couple married 79 years have the answer. Can you imagine? 79 years. I mean, folks, this is a miracle, and it's a beautiful thing to see. I think Marsh and I have been together 51 years is something of a record today. I really do. And overall, it's been a very good marriage. I got to say that. It really has. But an Ohio couple who just celebrated their 79th wedding anniversary are sharing the secret to their lasting love. Hubert and June Malacott. They're both turning 100 next month, Melody. 100. Have been married since they were 20 and say that they never had a quarrel. Their 70-year-old daughter, Jo, backs up that claim. We didn't go through life without problems, but we would never do anything to hurt each other, Hubert told today parents. The World War II veteran said he learned early on that a quick time out is an effective way to de-escalate the conflict. If there's controversy, you might have to walk away for a couple minutes, Hubert said. Then you come back and change the subject or you work it out. Hubert built the Hamilton, Ohio home that he and his June have lived in for more than 68 years. In recent years, June has suffered several strokes, which makes it difficult for her to communicate. But June and Hubert's routine hasn't changed a bit. This is so beautiful. Every night they sit down for dinner and watch an old Western, and they always share a kiss before going to bed. Wow. I put Mom in a wheelchair next to where Dad is sitting, and they hold hands and say goodnight to each other. Daughter Joe told today. Then in the morning, they are happy to see each other. They greet each other with huge smiles. Hubert can't imagine a life without June by his side. The pair, who have three children, seven grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, have survived everything from the Great Depression to COVID. It's kind of like if we aren't together, the team is broken, Hubert said. Hubert noted that he and June have never had any weekly date nights. They simply enjoy each other's company. He said living through the worst economic downturn in U.S. history made them grateful for everything they have. We've never really gone out much. When the kids were younger, we were happy to sit around the table sharing stories about our day, he said. We've had a wonderful life. June will turn 100 on July 13th and Hubert on the 23rd. They would just celebrate.
It's my birthday.
Is that right? Well, how about that? They will celebrate with a joint birthday bash, which will include a backyard church service. We will just worship God and thank Him for His many blessings that He has bestowed upon this family for a century. Now, how is that? Isn't that beautiful?
Yes,
I mean, Melody, and all this chaos, all this insanity all around us. I have to admit, as a fellow that's getting up in years myself, I know you're only 39, but I'm 74 now.
I don't have a chance.
I have to admit, no matter what's happening, when I pull up my driveway and get in my garage and walk in my home, I feel peace because I have a family. I have a wife here waiting on me that actually likes me a little bit from time to time.
Waiting on you or waiting on you?
Waiting on me. Not yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. We'll get that clarified. But, you know, she has health problems now. She's in a wheelchair right now. She can't walk. She can barely get around. But 51 years, I got used to her. You know, she's a
fantastic cook. It took you that long?
It took me that long. She's a fantastic cook, and we have food on the table yet.
She has a place to sleep at night. She is a sweetie pie.
She really is, and I have to admit that. I mean, that's we had ups and downs like everybody else has had, and we had really tight financial times in the past when we first got married. Makes me appreciate, like they said there, for the blessings I've been given, and at least our home was paid for, and we have a place to sleep at night and food on the table. It's getting tight for us financially, like everybody else. But I'm just saying, folks, there are good things in the life that we must not forget. If you have a home to come home to. Whether it's an apartment somewhere or a place in the country, wherever it may be, you get a family that loves you. You get someone who cares for you. You are a blessed individual. I know things are getting tight. I know the world's going insane. I see that the anger in the people in this country. I see the chance of a nation being ripped apart again. I see that happening. But at least for a little while in my home, I have union with my wife and a place of reprieve to unwind and relax. That's what it's all about. It's security of a home. So that's, we need to thank for all that, Melody. With all the things happening, with all this insanity and the frustration of people, we've got to be thankful. And I say this on the air, and I'm afraid to say it for anybody. I'm thankful for your friendship and for Todd, our producer's friendship. These are things I don't want to take for granted.
I don't know about that one. I'm just kidding, Todd.
You got to fight that one. I realize that, Melody. But we worked together now for quite a while, and you and I have known each other for many years. I work with Todd now for quite a few years. He's my producer on my radio show, too. And we get along just fine. We're blessing each other. We laugh together. I think that makes doing the job of doing radio easier. And doing radio is not always easy, is it, Melody?
No, it isn't.
You know, it isn't. You don't get on the air and talk for an hour without having something to say. You don't prepare for an hour's broadcast in 5 minutes. It takes time and commitment and the expenses of it. I mean, the expenses are unbelievable, folks. That's very true. So I'm very thankful that I have someone like Melody to work with 3 days a week. And I work with Todd 6 times a week and with my program and Melody's program. And there's so many things we need to take time to be thankful for. So tonight when you go to bed, if you're not a believer, at least think about the blessings you have and be thankful for them. If you are a believer, look up and praise your Heavenly Father for what He's done for you. And I'll see you Monday.
Amen. Thank you. Be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.